Welcome. My name is Oge, and I'm the host and creator of The Oge Show, a podcast where details about societal issues are brought to the fore via opinionated discourse, leaving you informed, entertained, and most importantly, educated. Join us every Friday by 6 p.m. for new and amazing content. All you have to do is simply subscribe. Thank you.
Okay. So, how's your leg?
Yeah. Much better.
So you actually owe me for the massage.
No.
You owe me for the massage, I mean.
Well, to be factual, your aunt
magical.
Yeah, magical. Very
blessed.
Magical.
Gifted hands.
Very magical.
I mean, you fell asleep.
Yeah. That has never happened to me before.
Oh my god. Yeah. I feel good.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel good.
Maybe I should invite you for more massage, like my personal therapist.
That would cost you. We could actually talk about that. You know, everybody has a side hustle nowadays, so I could actually use that as my side hustle.
Yeah, you know.
You know, start making more.
You can say that again.
Yeah, I can say that again. Okay, so life as a man in Nigeria. In fact, what makes a man a man? Because I know before we started the session, I said I was going to, we're going to talk about life as a man in Nigeria, and then your friends were like, why does he have to be Shegu? Shegu is not a man. So they said you were a boy. So that got me curious. What makes a man different from a boy?
Okay, first and foremost, I like to say my friend that said that is stupid. And
friends, so all three of them are
they're all stupid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have stupid people around me because I think I have some trait of stupidity too, so I attract what I have.
Okay, so yeah,
accepted.
You're okay.
So, what makes a man a man apart from the genitals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what makes a man a man? The ability to stand firm, take responsibility,
okay,
yeah, to be a defender of the old house, take decisions and stand by decisions, make mistakes and stand by it. And I think these are the things that makes a man. Though the same trait can be found in a woman.
Exactly, I was going to say that.
So, but the main part is the man does more of it than the woman.
Okay.
So the part of taking responsibility should be more of the man, guiding the home, provision, and so many things should be the work of the man.
So basically, from your definition, what makes a man a man is gender roles.
It's
gender roles as a whole. And then the fact that genitals.
Not just the genitals. there are so many people with the genitals, and they are a man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not man enough.
They're not just men. Not enough.
Okay.
They don't even have the trait of any man. No, they are feminine in nature.
Okay.
But they just have the genitals.
Alright.
So when you have the genitals and then you're taking the gender role, then a man you be.
In over 30 years of existence in living in Nigeria, what has your experience been as a man? So from when you were just a boy growing up, you know, from primary through secondary, university. What was it like?
Well, I've not had the best of childhood growing up.
Okay.
I grew up in the neighborhood where you don't even want your child to mingle with the people living around you. I grew up in Mushi, Akala to be precise.
Okay.
You know, my street where I stay, each house has people selling Indian hemp.
Wow.
So that's not the kind of place you want your child to grow up. So growing up there, I'm a get inside child because my mom is very, very
strict.
My mom is disciplined. My dad is strict.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way. And my mom has this Christian tenets that she wants us to live by. So we really did not mix up growing up as a child.
Okay.
So, and then I remember then, when I was in primary four, we left Mushin to go to my dad's place because that was when they started teaching me how to pilfer. I started pilfering my dad's money. They'll buy chocomilo, you know. We'll buy 10 chocomilo, they'll give me one. They'll share the remaining. I thief my father's money, I give to them. They rent bicycle, they ride bicycle, I run after them. You know, but I'm enjoying it because they're teaching me how to do this. And, you know, the day
not
my dad...
It was bad.
Not knowing it was bad, because that's what they do normally.
Okay.
So the day my dad caught me and, like, I thought I was going to die because my dad...
Flogged the living
Oh, my God. My dad is that kind of person who wants to flog you. He invites you to the house, plays music, turn the volume high, and flogs you so nobody will come and beg for you.
Neighbors.
Yeah, because in Moshi where I grew up, children have that trait of when your father is flogging you, start shouting, people come.
Everybody's
like, Joe, we're my pal, we're filial, and all that. But my dad will turn on the volume high, stay inside the house with you, beats you till he's satisfied, and then when he's done, he tells you, you're going to take Pepsi in the fridge, because then he was working with Pepsi. So you'll be drinking Pepsi and be crying like, and you'll be like... Those are the things. Then I remember one fateful day. Then I think I broke his favorite drinking glass.
Yeah. Wait, before you move to that story, when he caught you in the act stealing, what was the talk he gave to you? What did he say to you?
Okay. When he caught me, I thought I was gonna die.
Okay.
But that was the first time I saw my dad. He never beat me.
Okay.
So he just called me and he said, "Close your eyes." When I did, he said, "Who did you see?" I said, "Nobody." He said, "When you go and steal outside, when they catch you, when they kill you, you will not see anybody again. Not me, not your father, not your mother, not your sisters. Do you want that?" I said, "No, do ever steal." And he said, "From your father's money, that's when you start stealing other people's money."
Okay, yes.
"That's when you become an armed robber."
Mm-hmm.
"And if you become an armed robber, they will kill you."
Yes.
"And when you die, that's the end." So I love my mother. I love my sisters. I love my father. I still want to see them. And then...
So that was like more effective punishment.
Yeah,
than
that was.
Flogging.
He didn't flog me, and I was crying.
Okay. Yeah.
He never did.
Yeah. Emotional.
Yeah. So back to the drinking
Less
mug
story,
thing.
Yeah.
So I broke his favorite drinking mug, the one they call it tumbler back then,
okay,
for his beer. So I broke it. Then my sister said, "Your father will kill you today." And I was like, "What will I do?" So I started. I was already crying around the house. So one of my friends, his name is Yusuf. He said, "What did you do?" I said, "I broke my father's glass and he will kill me when he comes back." He said, "There's what you can do that will make him forget." I said, "What can I do?" He said, "Remove your eyelash, two strands of your hair, put it in his slippers, he will forget." It's like, he said, "His juju, he works." I said, "Okay." Stupid me, I did that. I put my eyelashes, I pull out like two.
Yeah, pull
then my hair, I put it in his slippers. The man came. He wore the slippers, went to have his baths. He came back. He didn't touch me that night. I was like, in my mind, like, this thing worked. Well, to cut the long story short, it was Kane that woke me up the next morning. He flung hell out of me.
So wait, how did you find out that you were the one that broke the mug?
Your
sisters.
I'm the only boy in the house.
Oh, okay.
I'm the only boy in the house, so he knows my sisters don't get near his things. When he says don't do this, they don't do it. But me, I told you I was stupid earlier. So the truth started from there.
Okay. So from primary to secondary, when as someone that grew up as an only son in the house, when did he start imbibing that thing? Start telling you that you're the only son, you're the heir, don't you know you're a man, you know, those kind of, when did your parents start saying that to you, your relatives, and
how did
it shape your upbringing?
Funny enough, my dad never told me things like you're the man, my mom never did,
okay.
But I just realized that growing up, I started taking responsibilities on my own. Like from primary school, I hold my two sisters, we cross the road together, I guide them. You know, you see us walking, and I think the bond is still what's still keeping us till the very moment. We are always together, nothing can separate us. So that's how I started taking the role of leadership. Right from childhood, then till we started growing up, till we all went to secondary school and that. So not that, not like they sat me down to tell me this, you know, they just taught me in the way, and then I started taking this up myself. That's
so
how it worked.
Did your environment also influence it, you know, from watching people around you, the men around you, maybe your uncles, teachers, religion, movies? Did it influence that all? As a man, this is what you're supposed to do, this is what you're not supposed to do.
Okay, first and foremost, take the role of movies out.
Okay.
Because growing up then, like I told you where I grew up, the kind of movies we watch are not movies that can even teach you any leadership. The only thing I learned from movies watching then is how to recite incantations.
Nigerian movies.
Yeah, was how to recite incantations. In Mushin back then, you know, there are these movies that has witches and wizards. The White Witch, the Black Witch, then the actor is Wizard Nabalist, Abijah, Ajon, and the rest. So those are the kind of movies we watch. So movies never had any influence on me. And then cartoons, I really don't watch cartoons growing up. When I was young, it was when I was growing up, I started developing this cartoon act. Then people around me, I told you where I stayed. People around me are not. But when we moved down to our own house, yeah, I saw some people. Like our first tenant, Mr. Banjo, is the way he takes care of the sister and gives me that sense of leadership each time and responsibility. Yeah, and these are the things that actually shaped me around the then church. Yeah, church. You know, when we moved over here, the church we were attending, then I joined the choir. Then they started inviting the leadership role.
Your mama is not your
even when I was in Jesus. In Jesus 3, I was already a choir coordinator. Yeah, from them. So that's what influenced it.
Okay, so as when you became an adult, and what has it been like living as a man in Nigeria? I'm not a man, but then there's this song, Flavor Sang, to be a man is not a day's job, and I saw you be. So, and then men are always all of like, the pressure on us is too much to be a man, to be a, what has it been like for you as
okay,
an adult? Finance, your personal life, relationship.
Okay, let me start with this. Being a man growing up, it's forcing me, like it's compelling me to take some very tough decisions.
Okay,
let's take for instance, when we finished secondary school, my father told us, guys, I can no longer send you guys to school. The truth was, we all finished secondary school almost at the same time. I was a year senior to my middle younger sister. Then our last one was 2 years away from us. So when my father told us that, and I like, wow. Because we all understood then, Pepsi liquidated. It was for the Odua company then. Pepsi liquidated and it was out of job. And then we understood the fact that he does not have the money. So when he told us, I told my sisters, you guys are females. You need this thing more than I do. So I told them I'm sacrificing myself. And I started working, doing menial jobs, sent them to school. Like, and I told them, when you guys are done, I can go back to school. Because I know if a lady is not educated, if she's not standing her ground, she's going to be messed up by the many people we have around. So it's been sacrificial. It's finance-wise, I've been in between broke, not broke. Like that. Relationship wise, it's not been easy though. Financially, it's been struggling, you know. There's some level of things you need to get to financially. Let's be realistic here.
Yeah.
Relationship does not thrive without money.
Okay.
It's very, very no matter how your lady can be understanding, it gets to a level that the understanding is going to go off. It's very, very key. No matter what, it gets to a level, she has some level of expectations, you have some level of obligations, and if you are unable to perform that obligation, then it becomes a problem. So relationship wise, it's not been easy. Then living in a country like Nigeria, as a man, you are a target to so many things.
Okay.
To so many things. We have recently we have the SARS harassment, police brutality, just so many things, violence, drugs, and so many things. You're open to them. So being a man in Nigeria is, I think, should be a PhD degree in Harvard. Yeah, it should be a degree in Harvard. Like it's not really easy.
Okay, then looking at you said something, your relationships, you expected as a man that there's some certain
obligations
and responsibilities you have to carry, and logically you're partner is not supposed to be your responsibility, although whatever it is that you or her wants to do has to come from a place of love. Oh, I want to do this for my partner because I love this person, I want this person to be happy, this thing will make this person happy. But when it starts becoming, I've noticed that it's sort of like an obligation for Nigerian men. You feel like, oh, I have to provide, I have to give money. Sometimes they go as training the girl in school, training her her siblings, so many other things. So it's just how
there is a reason why I so much love this topic, because there's this quote, being a man in Nigeria.
Okay.
I like the part that you have to put in Nigeria. Now in every other part of the world, the obligation is not necessarily there.
Yeah, but people go Dutch
in Nigeria, yeah. In Nigeria, even yourself, you know your obligations. Okay. As a man. You just know you have to do some things. You just know you have to do some things. If some things are not done, your girlfriend is someone else's girlfriend. I'm being realistic here. Your girlfriend is someone else's girlfriend. If some things are not done, you know. I like girls who don't ask, who don't demand. But you know it's within your own right that this girl is not demanding. I should do this for that kind of person. So you don't appear, you know, there's one thing ladies don't really like. They don't like a man who's stingy.
I don't think anybody likes anybody who's stingy.
So for you to, if she's not asking and then you're not giving, it gets to a point she starts taking it like, this guy is stingy. You know, sometimes take her out, sometimes surprise her with some credit alerts, surprise her with a gift, just send money like, oh, have lunch, and those kind of things. So all these things actually require money. I'm not using coupons to get that done, it's just money. So finance wise it's not been easy. We have a country where the number of unemployed youth are greater than the number of jobs that we have in the country.
Yeah, sure.
So being a man is not that easy, you know. You've seen a lot of let me take for instance the computer village we have. If you talk to these guys on the street who are doing one by yourself, some of them are graduated first class, no job, and they're on the street just trying to make a living. You know, they call it hustling, although hustling is the wrong word, but it's now the real thing. Mm-hmm. So everybody's hustling just to put food on the table.
As a man,
my pastor once said the saddest thing for a man is when the child is crying, I'm hungry, and he cannot provide food for the child.
Even the Bible said something about woe unto the man that cannot provide, something like that.
I think the Bible says the man that cannot provide for his own is worse than an infidel.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. So being in this country is really, really difficult. It's really difficult. You know, so many bills to pay, so many things to cater for, school fees, food, different kind of bills, electricity, lawma, house rent, Lagos state tax, and so many things.
Family.
Not talk about extended family and some friends who will be coming with their own issues. You know, it's really, really difficult in Nigeria being a man. And then that's still the same mentality. And some people have this mentality of this what's that English? Entitlement mentality. That even when you have friends who are not in Nigeria and they come, you expect them to like, oh, this guy should know I need money. There are people like that that you still have around you. They're still looking up to the man to get this done for them. So now only God fear us.
So in all the, from what I've understood so far is being a man in Nigeria comes with certain responsibilities, like
a whole lot of responsibilities.
And your ability to live up to those expectations, to take responsibilities for everything, is what actually makes qualifies you, as a man.
That's what makes
in
you a
Nigeria.
Man. That's what makes you a man, not erection.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not the genitals, it's not the erection that makes you a man. It's not you can go 12 rounds. It's providing, meeting of these ability and responsibilities what make you a man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we're going to have this conversation again. We're not done. So next week we're going to have like a round table. I want to have this conversation with more than 5 guys. I want to hear everybody's story.
It will be around.
Joseph is.
I can call some of my friends around.
Of course, let's sit down and I want to hear everybody's.
Yes, let's talk about.
Because I keep hearing, and then you hear, be a man.
Yeah.
It's like there's this thing. Be a man.
When they tell you be a man, it's own up, take responsibility. That's just what they are telling you.
Okay.
I say be a man.
Man up.
Own up. Take responsibility. Take charge.
Show up.
Show the strength. Everything is telling you, when they tell you be a man, it's just telling you take charge, take responsibility, own up, show the strength, show the courage. That's what they're telling you. Now you see, when someone died, for instance, if someone loses a loved one,
okay,
and then it's that crying, say be a man. Sorry, does this, is that telling that men don't cry? They tell you be a man. Why do you like a woman?
Okay,
be a man.
Why do they do like this now? If you cry, wait till you expect your sisters.
Exactly.
What do you expect your mom?
That's what they're telling the man. Show strength. I remember when my granny died at 110 years old. My mom was crying. I just spoke to her like, you know what I mean? She died. She's 110. You know, I started cracking jokes and my mom stopped crying. She started laughing. Everybody started laughing and, you know, I was giving the whole family the courage, the strength. Then when we now went to do outing service, when they were going to bury her, when they were lowering her down into the grave, I was the first person to start crying. Because it just dawned on me then that I'm not going to see this woman again. So at that point, I started crying. And they look at me like, see the man giving us strength. He started crying. And everybody started crying again. Like, it's normal for a man to cry once in a while. So the old word own up is what is making some men die in silence.
Okay.
Because sometimes they want to cry. They just want to lean on somebody's shoulder to cry out their heart. But because they are expected as a man to be strong, they
not show emotions.
Yeah, they chew up a lot of things inside of them and it kills them inside. Try and express your emotions. When I feel like crying, I cry. That's me. When I feel like crying, I cry. I can lock myself up. When something gets to me, lock myself up in the house, cry. When I'm done, I clean my face. I'm fine. So I will not bottle that in and then let it kill me inside. I'd rather losing it.
But not in front of people.
What's bad? What's there in front of people?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to be sure that you do it in front of
people. No, I can do it in front of people.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes I just need someone to tell me everything is going to be fine. That's what most men need. You just need someone to tell them everything is going to be fine. Now, looking at sometimes when I go out, I see elderly people still riding bikes. And I look at myself like, wow.
And they have kids.
This man at this age, still trying to be a man. You know, sometimes other man
needed this. Provide.
Yeah. Or he just want to provide. Want to be a man. That's why at that age is still, you know, hustling and doing all those things. Sometimes all that man needs is, Baba, everything will be fine. Just touch him and say that. You'll see that man break down and cry right in front of you. Because he's bottling up a lot of things. So, I will say again, being a man in Nigeria should be in, I think it should be written in one of the 1,000 ways to die. To be included.
Okay, Segun, this session was really amazing. And due to time, we have to stop. But next week, we're still going to have this conversation. I'm almost turning it into a 2-episode this thing. But next week, we'll have lots of people. I want to hear from different men, different people, how.
Yeah, I want to hear too.
Their life has been as a man.
Stories
exactly in Nigeria. So, until next week, guys, do not forget to subscribe to this podcast. Also, do not forget to tell your friends to subscribe. You can also follow our social media handles at The Ogie Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So, until next week again, bye for now.